Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dear saints in Jesus, the Christian life that you live is marked by living in tension, living in between, if you will. On the one hand, Christ has given you plenty of good vocations to fulfill right here and right now in order to serve your neighbor in this world. On the other hand, Christ has also promised to return one day in order to destroy the current order of things and to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. And you and I live constantly in between these two realities, fully investing ourselves in the here and now for the sake of our neighbor, and yet contending all the time with our sin and longing for the day when the here and now will be undone and remade. And there is no other way for the Christian to live. For to fall off into the ditch on one side or the other is to forget our confession that Christ ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. For the ascension of Jesus has comforting implications both in our present and also for our future. We have two New Testament texts before us this morning, written by the same author, Luke. We have his gospel account and his account in Acts, and they're each describing the same event, the ascension of Christ. In his gospel, Luke describes how Christ, 40 days after his resurrection, opens his disciples' minds to understand the law and the prophets and the Psalms and how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those things. He also gives them their marching orders, if you will, that they are to go and proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. They're to proclaim law and gospel, really. And then he gives them this promise that the Holy Spirit would come. Pentecost, we'll celebrate it next week. And in the power of the Spirit, they would go forth fulfilling that vocation. He then leads them to Bethany, lifts up his hands and blesses them. And as he blesses them, he is taken into heaven from their sight. Now, at this point, we might expect the apostles to be sort of sad or sorrowful. We might expect them to sort of plead with Jesus as he's being taken from them. No, what are you doing? Stop. Please don't go, or at least take us with you. But they don't. Luke's account in Acts tells us that while they're gawking up into the sky, these two angels appear to them and they say, "Hey, men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the heavens? This Jesus who you saw go, he'll come back again in the same way." And then back in the gospel, we're told that they worship Christ. They return to Jerusalem, not with sorrow, but with joy. They're continually in the temple, blessing God. They go off and fulfill their vocation in this world in the certain hope of the future return of Christ. They know that just because Jesus is ascended, that does not mean he is absent. They have no reason to be sorrowful, for the one who was crucified for them and risen for them has also ascended for them and now reigns in power for them and is one day returning for them. And he's doing the same for you. So that everything that we do in the present is given hope and joy by the promised future. Just because Christ is returning one day in the future doesn't mean that he cares nothing about the present. So you see, here is the tension that is the Christian life. You can fall off on the one side and think that the most important things that matter are the here and the now. So that certainly whatever you think is important in this temporal world, God must think is important. So you invest all kinds of energy and time in the temporal things of the world, acting as if they are eternal. So we work for bigger salaries or better retirements. We pray to God for physical healing, maybe. We ask him for a miracle, even. Then there are the election years, when we invest all kinds of time and energy watching temporal things. We watch the news and we follow all the polls, and every 4 years we're tempted to think this is the most important election in the history of America. Everything hinges on this. Now, don't get me wrong, these temporal things are certainly fine to invest time and energy in, but they are not our treasure. That they are not our ultimate hope. But that's the temptation. The temptation is to get so wrapped up in the temporal things that we believe the lie that we can actually fix it. And we lose sight of the eternal future that Christ has promised. And then when the temporal hopes that we have don't come to fruition, well, then we want to cry out, God, what are you doing? Or what aren't you doing? And then we come to our gospel reading, and we might think it was easy for the apostles to go back into Jerusalem praising God with joy because they didn't have to live in as sinful of a world as we do, right? Things are far worse now than they ever have been, right? And to think that is simply an attempt to remove yourself from the equation. Let's be honest. The world is the way it is because you and I and nearly 7 billion other sinners live here. So that's the first error that we can fall into, to place all of our hope in the here and now and to get angry and despairing when that hope is dashed. To doubt that Christ is truly reigning in power even as we speak. Tempted to take the solutions to all of the world's problems into our own hands as if we can save it. And then disappointed with the current state of affairs, then we might be tempted to actually fall off on the other side of this tension, to begin to just despise the world and all of the wicked people living in it, to become lax and lazy in our God-given vocations because none of it matters anyway. We might be tempted to simply look longingly into the heavens like those disciples waiting for Christ to return because, after all, I'm just a stranger here, right? Heaven is my home. But you see, this would be the error on the other side. Again, just look at the apostles. I mean, they don't simply stay there at the place of Christ's ascension and think, well, we've put in our 3 years of following Jesus. I guess we can just sit back and now wait for him to return. Instead, the angels come and send them on their way, almost as if to say, look, he'll come back. You can be sure of that. Now, in the meantime, get to work fulfilling the vocations he's given you. And they do, with joy. And so can we. Now, you and I are not apostles, to be sure. We have not been given precisely the same vocations as they had, but we have been given vocations that are sacred and important. God has made some of you spouses. And he doesn't need you to be faithful and loving to your spouse, but your spouse does. God has made some of you parents. And God doesn't need you to be a good and faithful parent, but your children do. God has given some of you the vocation of employee, employer. God has given all of us the vocation of citizen. And so we should fulfill that vocation responsibly. And I'm sure the list of our vocations could go on and on. You have plenty to keep you busy here and now. And so go and do it. But not with any illusions that you're making the world a better place. Rather, you fulfill these vocations because, well, you are breathing and your neighbors are breathing. Christ hasn't returned yet. And will you fail? Well, of course you'll fail. But this is where the ascension of Christ actually becomes so comforting. For the same one who is ascended and reigning at the right hand of the Father, this is the same one who is crucified and risen for you and for your forgiveness. And so this is the tension that we walk. We do not need to despair when the temporal world isn't going the way we think it should, whether internationally or nationally, or even when you're staring in the mirror contending with your sin. For Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, reigning over everything, even now, holding all things together. with the promise to return to finally put it all back to right. But we also don't need to despise the present, for God has put us in this place to love and serve our neighbors. And so we walk the tension that is the Christian life, living in between the present and the future, and we can do so with joy. For standing over it all is Christ, who, though he is ascended, is certainly not absent. That ascended and reigning Lord gives himself to you, even here and now this morning, word and sacrament, body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And so come and receive these gifts right here in the present, even as you long for the future. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.